Good morning. Good to be up here again this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to get up here and to open God's Word and to bring a short lesson for you this morning. And this morning I read Revelation chapter 21. I read the whole chapter, saying that my sermon was going to come from this chapter this morning. There is a lot in that chapter. It's a wonderful, wonderful book to read, and there's a lot in just Revelation chapter 21 on what we, with the gifts we receive, and this beautiful city that is described to us, and this new heaven, and so the title of my sermon today is The Lamb's Book of Life, which comes from that is found in the very last verse of chapter 21 of Revelations, but the sermon is going to come from the last six verses. So there in Revelation 21, I'm going to reread verses 22 through 27. Again, John here has written, what he was told to write, and it says here, "But I saw no temple in it," talking about this city. "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." There are many references to this Lamb's Book of Life throughout the scriptures. Exodus 32:33. I'm going to read a few of these. There are several, but I don't know that I'll read all of them. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32, verse 33. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book.'" This book that we're talking about here is the same book referenced in Revelations, this book of life. It is used as my book, the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life. Several mentions of it, but they are all talking about the same book. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is where Jesus sends out the 70. And they come back from going into all these cities and towns and preaching the word. They come back, and Jesus has a good message for them, and they have a good report to give. Luke chapter 10, now there's verse 20 says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, what he's talking about here, and I'm going to touch on it again here in just a moment, but these 70 were sent out to preach and teach into all these cities going two by two, and they come back, and they are rejoicing that they succeeded in what they wanted, what Jesus wanted them to do, but he also wants to make sure that they're not being, that they're not being selfish and that it's all on them. I want them to understand that it's more important that they are actually written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not that they personally succeeded. And so we're going to talk about that here in a little bit more. Philippians 4 and verse 3. I just want you to see that this phrase is all over. It is so important to understand that. Philippians 4 and verse 3. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the..." That's the wrong chapter. Never mind. That was chapter 2, I apologize. Chapter 4 and verse 3, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life." Their names are in the book of life. And in Revelations, there are several, five or six more that I have written down. We're not going to read all of them, not going to turn to all of them. I will reference some of them as we go along. But my point is, this Lamb's Book of Life is so important. It's mentioned more than once, and it's phrased as these people's names are in it. What are the blessings we get from it? Why is it such a big deal to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Why is it for our name to be in that book? What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? What does that mean in the ultimate grand scheme of things? What I picture is when this book is opened, we see this probably on some TV shows, the animations that they can do these days. I picture when we get to the judgment seat, this book being opened and Christ's finger running down the names, and the names light up as he runs his finger down them. And I hope to see my name there. I think I'm doing what's right to see my name there. But that's what I picture. And if your name's not there, there'll be an empty space. It'll be gone. But with our name being in this book of life, we receive blessings from this. What are the blessings that we can receive? So that's what I want to talk about is, if you have the confidence that your name is in that book, great. We can rejoice that our name is written in the book of life. If not, I want to give you a few reasons here why we need to strive to get our name in that book. The first reason, if your name is in this Lamb's Book of Life, then you have reason to rejoice. Reason to rejoice. We'll go back to Luke chapter 10 and we'll talk about these 70. Luke chapter 10, and there in verse, it actually goes from like the first part of the chapter all the way through to 20, where it leads up that Jesus is sending not only the disciples, but then these 70 others out to preach and teach the word. But I'm going to pick up in verse 17, Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, they weren't taking credit for themselves. They were saying that, it's amazing that if they do what they're supposed to, that the demons are responding to them. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. They were performing miracles with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wanted to make sure that they didn't just rejoice in the fact that they were able to accomplish this. They needed to rejoice in the fact that they were doing God's will. And it also shows that discipleship wasn't just limited to the apostles. There were several others that were sent out. Other part of that, a reason to rejoice for having our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is the salvation, this wonderful gift that we receive. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we're all probably familiar with this verse. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is our name in this Lamb's Book of Life, should we be obedient. First John chapter 3 and verse 1 says that we are called children of God. We have that inheritance. We have received this gift if our name is in this book. We can rejoice in the fact that our name is in this book. And not in a haughty way, but we need to be rejoiceful that we are doing what's right. The second blessing we can receive from having our name written in this book is that we should have great boldness. Now, I want to explain the difference and boldness and arrogance. We can have great boldness if we are doing God's will. Boldness is confidence. It's being courageous. We can teach others. We can have the confidence that we're doing what's right and live a life that is pleasing to God. Being boldness to the point that we're being arrogant is exaggerating oneself. It's all about me. That's not what this is about. Being boldness, or having boldness because our name is written in this book and we are pleasing to God, is just confident that we're doing the right thing. We can have that kind of boldness. We have access to the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us we have access to his throne. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can have the boldness to come to his throne knowing that God is our helper. He's always there to be our helper. He will help us in times of need, times of sorrow. But we can come to this throne in great boldness, just as the verse says. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, just a few chapters over. It tells us that he is our helper. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That's confidence. That's courage. That's not arrogance. We are confident that God will help us. We are confident. We are not fearful. No one can hurt us if God's on our side. Those who overcome need not to worry. We can overcome trials and tribulations, and we have this sense of boldness that we don't have to worry of not having a helper. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." This world is an evil and wicked place at times. There are good people in this world. There are good things that happen. But we will be tested. We will be tried. And when we overcome these, we will receive a reward. We will have our name in the book of life. And just as verse 5 there says, will not blot out. Our name will remain. It will be there. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and there in verse 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If we are doing our part to look beyond this life upon this earth, we are striving to do God's will, we are looking to this heavenly city that we want to live in, that we want to be a part of, then we will be rewarded. We will have overcome the temptations and the trials of this life, and we'll have received our inheritance. We have no reason to worry, because we know God is our helper, and as long as we look to him for our guidance and strength, we will overcome any obstacles that stand in our way. One more verse on the topic of being bold. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and there in verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, what's the opposite of fear? Courageous, boldness. God has not given us the spirit of fear when it comes to the word. We can be bold in this life with God on our side. And with that, what is that third blessing that we can receive? And there are more. I've only listed three for today. But what's the third blessing we can receive by having our name in the Lamb's Book of Life? No fear. We can have no fear. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and there in verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We all know who that come from, right? Paul. Did he have a fear of walking upon this earth, living Christ-like? Did he have a fear of dying? He didn't have a fear of dying a physical death at all. We too can have this same confidence of not fearing physical death because we know what lies in store. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. What did he mean there? He meant to live as Christ is Christ is he was doing what God's will was, being Christ-like, and to die rescued him from this world of sin and sorrow. He knew what was waiting for him. He knew this city was waiting for him. He knew his mansion was ready. And he was not afraid that when his life upon this earth came to an end, he was ready to accept that he had done God's will, and he was ready to accept his inheritance. We can have no fear if we understand between physical life and everlasting life. Everlasting life is forever. If our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we should not fear physical death when our life is over. Doesn't mean we need to go out and try to jump the Grand Canyon or do things that are tempting death, but it just means that we should not have to fear physical death because we know that our life will come to an end eventually upon this earth. We also, to help us have this no fear, what did Jesus say he was going to do? In John 14. Turn back with me to John chapter 14. Where was Jesus going to go and what was he going to do? John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has prepared a place for us. So we shouldn't have any fear of what's going to happen after our life upon this earth is over. We know, we should know where we're going. And we should know we've got a place to stay. Have you ever been in that situation where you were on your way somewhere but not knowing where you're going or where you were going to stay when, or if you had a place to stay when you got there? I'm not saying I have. I'm sure there's people that have had that feeling. We have, I'm sure. There's no way to put a number on it. We know there are homeless people upon this earth and they have no place that they actually call home. We have a home waiting for us. We have a mansion prepared for us. And that is in the everlasting life, not the physical life. Jesus didn't go to wherever, only Illinois, and make a mansion for one of us to stay in. That's not what this is about. He has a heavenly mansion for us. this beautiful city that Revelation paints this picture of. Streets of gold. I mean, I don't know if you want to count asphalt or concrete better, but that's about the best surface I've ever walked on for streets. Sometimes I think the old red brick looks kind of cool and nostalgic, but could you imagine walking on streets of gold? Such a wonderful place to be. So we should have no fear of where we are going or where we're going to stay when our life upon this earth is over. This crown of righteousness that is talked about, that we receive, this is salvation. This life is waiting for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, again. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul is writing towards the near of his life here. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing, all who have obeyed his word, all who have lived a life pleasing unto him. The crown of righteousness will be ours because our name is written in that book. Which means we are no longer what? Citizens of this earth, of this town, we are now citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If our name is written in this book of life, which I am confident that most of us in this room are striving to do and live a life pleasing unto God, so I'm confident our names are written in this Lamb's book of life, we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to have great boldness. And I'll add the term Christ-like boldness, not arrogance. We have confidence. We are courageous. We also are able to go about this life with no fear, having the confidence that we have a home prepared for us in this wonderful city that's in heaven. We have a mansion waiting for us. We will live amongst all of those that are in that book. And we will not be dual citizens because our citizenship is not of this earth. We will be citizens of heaven. So what if we're not written in that book? What if, for whatever reason, we've slipped up? Maybe we were Christians and we've fallen away. Maybe we're not a Christian and we haven't served through primary obedience yet. So what's going to happen? Well, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. There, verses 14 and 15. Talking about the final judgment. We get to the last part of this where it says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death is the last enemy that's destroyed here. And then anyone that their name is not in this book gets tossed into this lake of fire. Now, that would be a sad outcome. It truly would be. But everyone sitting in this room today has a chance. Everyone has an opportunity. It's not too late. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, now is your time. Now is your time to get your name written in that book of life. If you are a Christian and you're living obedient and faithful, rejoice. We have reasons to rejoice. Such a wonderful thing to be in that book. But if you are a Christian and you've fallen away, now's the time to fix that. Now is the time to repent, to ask for prayers of the congregation if you need it. If you don't, take care of it at your seat. But now's the time. Such a wonderful blessings to know that we're going to inherit heaven. It's just hard to imagine what it's going to be like. But I think Revelation gives us a pretty good example of what we're looking for, what we're looking towards. Hopefully this lesson has been edifying and uplifting to everyone. I hope that you found it to be true to word, to be true to what the gospel says. Thank you for listening attentively. Open your songbooks to the song that's been selected, and Brother Mike will be leading us in the singing. And if there's any way we can help you, whether it's through primary obedience, if it's through prayers of the congregation, just got to come forward and have a seat on the front pew. We'll take it from there. We'll help you set your life right. Please come while together we stand and while we sing.